Okay, hi everybody. First, I completely forgive you for the weather. Okay? Not a flake has fallen in Washington, and yet it snowed in Malibu today. Okay, fine. Okay, I'm being recorded tonight, so if you do want to hear this lecture, I think it's going to be available afterwards. Not like afterwards tonight, but in the future if you contact Isha Torah. So don't go crazy, okay, if you want to try to remember everything, because you can get it also. All right. This is going to be fun. All right, I want everybody right now to think about something that they're worried about. Right? Is anybody not worried about something that they need to borrow somebody else's? I want you to worry about something in your personal life. I don't want it to be too global. Make it personal. Alright? Personal. So, oh, thinking of going to Israel. Okay, that's good. That's good. You can do that. Okay, some sort of worry, something you're concerned about, something you're worried about. Has everybody got something in their head? Could be a relationship, could be a person, could be a financial thing. Yeah, you got it? You got it? Okay, good. So I'm going to, we'll call that the problem. Okay? Everybody's got a problem, right? We all have problems. All right, we'll call it the problem. All right. Tell me how you feel when you think of your problem. Just shout out how you feel. How are you feeling about it?
Anxious.
Okay. Anxious. Give me another one.
Sad.
Pardon?
Angry.
Angry. Sad, I heard.
Afraid.
Good. Not good, but you know what I mean. Confused. Hold on, confused. What was that?
Insecure.
Insecure.
Negative.
Negative. Okay, what else? How else do you feel? So you're feeling what? How would you describe it? Helpless?
No,
because you know.
Complacent almost.
Complacent. Okay, we're gonna hold that for a second. What else?
Frustrated.
It's so good to see you. What else? Funny. Funny? Hopeful? Okay. You know what? We're gonna put this. And you say complacent? Okay, we'll think of that. What else? Hopeless. Yeah. Why do you feel hopeful? Okay. Most people feel hopeless, Bonnie. Okay? Okay. Hopeless. What else? Lonely. You feel alone. Nervous. Okay.
Energized.
You feel energized when you think of your problem?
Yes.
Okay.
Because how else am I going to solve it?
Pardon?
How else am I going to solve it?
How else are you going to solve it? You're good. What is your name?
Barry.
Barry?
Yes.
Okay. He's good. He's good. Okay. Okay, Barry's going to teach the rest of the class. Okay. Okay. So when you're thinking about, you're worried about going to Israel, is that what you said your problem was?
Not worried, Holly. Concerned.
What? You're concerned about going to Israel.
Yes.
But it makes you excited.
Yes, because we're not doing very well with Condoleezza Rice or Bush. Maybe we could do something with Olmert.
Okay. But you said you were worried about it. You're concerned about it. I said, think about something you're worried about. But you feel excited.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else want to describe? All right. All right. All right. So I'm here to tell you, and hopefully convince you, that these feelings that you're having, these are your feelings, okay, are not because of your problem. Okay? They're not because of your problem. They're because of your thoughts about the problem. Okay? They're your thoughts. It's not your problem, it's your thoughts. The first point was thought creates your emotional reality. It is not the incident, it is the thought. Okay? Okay? You think it's because of that kid who's not doing well in school, or because your husband who's making you nuts, or because financially you're not making it, or because fill in the blank, okay, whatever your problem was. You think it's because of your problem that you're feeling like this, but it's not because, it's because of your thoughts. Your thoughts create your emotional reality. It's not the incident, it is the thought. You can have a family that's maybe not so emotionally healthy, right? Say an abusive family situation. You could have four kids in a family, and they can grow up, and one can come out strengthened. One could come out with resolve to help other children, right? One could come out diminished, nervous, withdrawn. Same family, all right? Same incident, different results, different feelings. Why? It's not the incident, it's the thoughts. It's your thoughts. All right, thoughts create as if an illusory reality, okay? An illusory reality. When we're worried, right? Because that's what you're feeling here, right? You have a situation, your problem. Aren't you worried? No one said worried. Why didn't say worried? Pardon? Right? Oh, yeah, right there. Okay? Worry is big, big time, okay? Okay? All these feelings, okay? And our worries. So worry, is that past-oriented or future-oriented? Totally future. Alright? We don't worry about the past. Who worries about the past? You don't worry about the past. You dwell on the past. Okay? You dwell on it. You worry about the future. Okay? It's very future-oriented. Alright? Very future-oriented. So, there is no reality to the future, and there really is no reality to your past. Alright? Show me your past. Okay? Show me pictures. Alright? But, show the past is gone. It's over. It's over. It does not exist anymore. Show me the future. This also does not exist. It doesn't exist. There is only now. That's it. Only now. And now, now does not have to have any worry, because worry is totally future oriented. Right? You're not worried about now. You're worried, when we worry, it's what's going to happen in the future. What's going to happen with that kid? What's going to happen to my financial situation? What's going to happen to the Jewish people? What's going to happen to my marriage? All right? It's very future-oriented. Are you with me? All right. Stay with me. All right. It's going to lead to good things, God willing. All right. All right. So thoughts create as if an illusory reality. You literally, okay, by worrying and being future-oriented and having these feelings, okay, and these thoughts, you're creating a reality that really doesn't exist. And sometimes it doesn't exist because it never will happen. And even if it does happen, it's not going to help you to worry. For example, so about a couple of years ago, my husband was not happy in his career position and wanted to make a career change. Okay, and all these things different happened in order to sort of expedite this. So we looked at different options and we went around, you know, the different Ishtar branches tried to recruit us. And we went around looking at all our options. When we finally chose where we're going to be, we ended up in Washington, D.C. area. My husband was very, very worried about telling one of our kids about the move. Right? My son, Zev. Very, very worried. Zev was coming out of his middle school and was about to go into high school, into the yeshiva there. And he was very, very worried about telling Zev. And he created this unbelievable sense of anxiety and got me into it, okay, which is very easy. So got me into it about that Zev's going to be very upset, that he's going to be very traumatized, that this is awful. And it's like, and he put it off for days and days and days. So we finally had the talk with Zev and told him that we're moving. And Zev was like, okay, bye. Because even if you live in Denver, that's where we're living at the time, the boys dorm. They dorm at yeshiva. It's part of the yeshiva experience there. And he was like, fine, I'm still going to the yeshiva, but like, let me know where we live, you know, and I'll come and visit, all right? He was totally fine. But all these feelings, right, were real, right? But it was an illusion. It created a reality that did not exist. Do you understand? It did not exist. If you're worried about what's going to happen to a kid or what's going to happen to it, all these things are very future-oriented. They don't exist, but your feelings make it seem like it does. All right? Right? It makes it seem like there is a reality to this. Turn on the GPS. Your thoughts are blocking God. Get out of the way and let God in. Okay. When I moved to Washington, D.C., the thing that bothered me the most about living there, and it still bothers me, is that there is a highway, you call it freeway here, right? There is a highway there called the Beltway, right? And why is it called the Beltway?
It goes around
and around and around, okay? Now, I'm a person who's not very good at directions, right? I don't have a good sense of direction. I can get lost in a mall and literally, like, okay? So, but I know, I grew up in Toronto, and there is a highway called the 400. It goes north and south. And there's a highway called the 401, and it goes east and west. So if you're on the 400, you're either going north or south, and on the 401, you're going east or west, right? Okay. In most cities, that's the way it works, right? I was on the 10 today, right? It goes east and west, right? Okay, good. Okay. Okay. It was very lovely, actually. Very nice. All right. So the Beltway, you don't know if you're going north, south, east, and west ever, because you're going around and around, okay? And it's very disconcerting, and it really bothers me, because I never know, and then you're in the outer loop and inner loop. I don't know what that means, all right? And I got so lost. Like, really, really lost. I literally would be in a place of somewhere in the city or that region, and because you have Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, like, I would get lost, and I'm in a different state, and it really bothers you, even though it's only a few miles away. Like, I'm in a different state, all right? And I would call my husband. I would tell him, I'm at this street and this street. Come and get me. I literally didn't know where I was, what direction I was in, what state I was in, or how to get back. It was very upsetting. So there was a rabbi there, the Ishtar rabbi who had been there for years. He had one of those portable GPS things. And he said, you need this more than I do, okay? And he gave this to me, because he has a terrible sense of direction. His wife has an amazing sense of direction, like awesome. And Steve gave me this, and he said, this made my wife redundant. That's what he told me. So I thought I was saving his marriage by taking it back, all right? So I took the GPS, and I plugged it in. I remember I had to go. I had a friend in Denver whose father passed away in Baltimore, and I had to go to Baltimore in order to go to the funeral. So I put in, like, the address and everything. He showed me how to do it. I plug it in, right? And I turn it on, and off I go. It was so great, okay? There's a little lady who lives in this box, okay? And she knows everything, okay? And she tells you to go left and right. She gives you warnings. And if you turn the wrong way, she never yells at you. She never loses her temper. She just says, recalculating, okay? Really, and you're just so comforted. Like, she's going to get me there, okay? I love her, okay? And I was just like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, I was just, and as I'm driving, and as she's bringing me left and right and all these things, all I kept thinking was, this is such a muscle. This is such an analogy for life. This GPS is so much more than what this is in the car. So I realized that we all have GPSs, and it's called your God positioning system. All right? That's your GPS, your God positioning system. And it came with the factory, okay? It came built in. You didn't have to buy one, right? Inside. And that's your neshama, it's your soul. That's your GPS, your God positioning system. And God put it in you, but it doesn't work unless there's a few things we do, which is totally, okay, the same as the GPS for your car. The GPS of your car does not work unless you do what? If you have one of those portable ones, what do you have to do? Well, first, plug it in. First, you got to plug it in, right? If you don't plug it in, it's not going to work. So what does that mean in terms of your soul, your neshama? You got to plug it in. How do we do that? Every morning, we wake up and we say, Modi ani lefanecha. Thank you, God, for bringing me back my soul. Thank you that I'm alive. That prayer, talking to God, is plugging in. That's what it is. Does anybody here know who Rabbi Noach Weinberg is? He's the head of Eish HaTorah. Okay? He's the Rosh Hashiva of Eish HaTorah. So my husband told me this story, that there was one of the guys at Eish was asked by Reb Noach to move into his apartment in Israel because his wife, Reb Weinberg, who never, hardly ever leaves Israel, was going on some sort of educational trip abroad, or she was visiting her mother at the time, I don't know what was going on, but he asked for one of the yeshiva guys to move in Jerusalem with him, to help him with the kids and just to, you know, keep things going there. So one of the guys that my husband knew moved in. And he told my husband the story. He said, Rav Noach told him, this is the time I want to get up in the morning. Let's call it 6 a.m. And I'm going to set my alarm, but sometimes it doesn't wake me up. So I want you, if you don't hear me, if I'm not up, I want you to knock on my door and wake me up, my bedroom door. And he says, because I don't want to oversleep, and I want to go to Minyan. So he says the Bachur could not sleep all night long because he wanted to, you know, he was so afraid he would sleep in, and then the Rashid would sleep in, and he would feel terrible. So he says he's left up, you know, at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. So finally, you know, 6 in the morning, he doesn't hear the Rosh Hashiva anywhere. So he goes and he knocks quietly on the Rosh Hashiva's bedroom door. Knock, 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 knock. Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva, you know, good morning. Nothing. Knocks a little louder, knocks a little louder. And finally he hears inside, Modani Lufanecha, Melachai Mikayam. And he really... That's how he wakes up every morning. He really says it like that. How do you say it? Anybody who says it here? Right? He really thanks God that he's alive. He really does, with that amount of energy and gusto. And this guy was changed forever. He's changed forever. So those of you who don't say it, say it. Even if you say it in English, thank God I'm alive. Thank you, God, your faithfulness in me. That you gave me another day, and your faith in me, I'm going to use it properly. Right? Just thank God that you're alive. For those of you who do say it, maybe you don't say it like we usually say it. Right? Maybe like, you know, remember the story about Rev Noah, Rabbi Weinberg. Say it like you mean it. Thank God, I'm alive. Not everybody wakes up. Plug in. Just like your GPS, all right? You've got to plug in your soul, right? Not enough to just breathe, okay? Plug it in, all right? What else do you have to do? Now you've plugged in your GPS in your car. What else do you have to do to make sure it works? Pardon? State your destination. If you don't put in, okay, your destination, it can't get you there. For your soul, if you don't know where you want to go, God can't get you there. You won't even recognize it if he brings you there, because you don't even know that's where you're supposed to be going. I always tell single people, if you don't know who you are and where you're going, you won't know who to go with. Right? You just pass them by. God could bring you the right guy, but you didn't know who you were and where you were going, so you passed him by. If you know who you are and where you're going, okay, then God can get you there, because you'll recognize it once you're there. So you got to know where you're going. You got to put in your destination. So we have to know where we're going in life. Right? You got to know where you want that kid to go. That kid you're having trouble with, you're struggling with. Where do you want him to get? All right? All right. What else? Your GPS? You got to listen to it. You know what? I was getting really cocky. Like halfway to Baltimore, okay? I'm on my cell phone. I got the radio going. And then she told me, and I didn't hear her. I said, what? I'm sure there must be something on it, a button that repeats it. I didn't know what that button was. Is there a button that repeats it on the GPS? Yeah, I didn't know the button. I wasn't listening. She said it, but there was so much static going on. I was so distracted, I didn't hear her. So what does that mean? God is always talking to us, but most of the time we're not listening. Prayer is not a one-way conversation. Right? It's not a one-way conversation. God is always talking back to us. Not in the burning bush, and not in the clouds. If you heard him in the clouds this morning, I'm sure you have special therapists here in Los Angeles that, you know, that you can see. He's always talking to us. When things happen in our life, when there's an incident, there was no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. God is always talking to us. There's something called Hashkacha Pratis, which is like divine supervision. Huh? Divine supervision. Well, you see Yad Hashem, the hand of God in your life. This is so key to building your relationship with Hashem, with God. So key. And there was a Rebbe in England who taught me this. And she was very sick, and she asked everybody to embrace this as something to do with their Friday night table, to tell her shkacha stories. And we took it, and we ran with it in a big way. And this really, my husband said, of anything else we've ever introduced to the family, this changed our family and our children more than anything else, and had such an effect on our guests. And I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to suggest you do the same thing. Friday night at our table, if you come to my table for Shabbos, and you're all invited, if you're in the Washington, D.C., greater Washington, D.C. area. So this is what we do. When it gets close to dessert, we say, okay, now it's time for a shkacha story. And my kids run, and they bring the prizes. Right? Got to have candy prizes. I went to Munchies, and I got like stuff they've never seen before. They're going to be very happy. All right? So all this candy, so I bring candy to the table. Gummy bears, fizzy pop, lollies, whatever. These are called the shkacha prizes. I said, okay, so the rule at our table is, if you've never been to my Shabbos table, you could tell a story, a hashkacha story, of God's hand in your life from your whole life. If you have been to my Shabbos table, you can only tell it from the week. It has to be from that week. Get the rules? All right? Can I tell you the most irreligious people at my table tell the most unbelievable, blow-away, okay, God stories. Amazing. My kids' stories almost always end with, they tell the tale, and it always ends with, and then I didn't have to go to school. Or then the test was canceled. Or then the teacher didn't show up. You hear the theme? Okay. Amazing. They might be sweet and simple, and they might be dramatic. And you know how that changes you? If you know you're going to be at my Shabbos table, and my kids, and myself, and my husband, and my guests who are on a regular basis, no, they know they got to show up for the story. If my husband, the rabbi, doesn't have a story, he looks really bad, okay? What does that mean? It means you're looking for a shkacha in the week. You're looking. My kids will come home and say, I have three shkachas today, right? And they'll rattle them off, right? You're looking to see God's hand. You're looking to hear God's voice. Everything happens for a reason, but you got to be listening. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's much better to hear God's message and to hear God's voice when he whispers, and don't wait for him to shout. All right? Because I know in your life and in my life, sometimes he has to shout to get our attention, and we look back and we realize that he was whispering, and then he got louder, and then he got louder, and then he got louder, until we finally heard him. Until we finally heard him. So you should be looking in the little small things, God's message. What's God telling me? What's the message? Here's the mistake we often make. Usually God gets our attention when not so good things are happening. Right? When there's a real challenge. When there's a real pressure. When there's a tragedy. That's when you're saying, what is God telling me? What's the message? Rabbi Steve Barnes in Washington always says, he never gets phone calls from people saying, you know, everything's just going so great in my life. I thought I should talk to a rabbi about it. He says, you always get calls. Something heavy is happening. I need to know what's God telling me. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? My husband says, greater than asking, what's the message? What is God telling me when something negative is happening? Is to ask yourself, what's the message? What is God telling me when something great happened? Why did this happen? Much better to get God messages through something positive and don't wait for something negative. You hear? All right. So now you got your GPS turned on. Okay? Plugged in. I'm alive. Talking to God. Prayer. Right? Put in, right, where you're going, and you're listening. You're listening. So that when it says, you've arrived at your destination, that nice lady, okay, you know you've arrived. You know this is where you're supposed to be. This is the choice you're supposed to make. This is the decision. This is the clarity, all right? Your thoughts are blocking God, okay? All this stuff here, okay, that we talked about, this stuff is blocking God. God wants to get in. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to get the message. He wants to help you to make the right decisions. And all this stuff is static. It's static. It's blocking God. Get out of the way and let God in. You got to get out of this zone. I'm going to help you get out of it. Okay? Get out of this zone. Because God wants to get in. He wants to tell you which way to turn. in your life, but you can't hear him because of all this noise. Number four, if you are feeling frightened, worried, fearful, okay, that's the message that your thoughts are wrong. This is not where he wants you to be. All right? Your thoughts are wrong. So, how do we change this? Okay, first of all, let's talk about life, okay, up here. Okay? This is a low state. Okay? That's how you feel when you're in a low state. All right? Got that one down. How do you feel when you're in a high state? Okay? When you're feeling in a high state, exhilarated. What did you say? Energized. How else do you feel?
Open.
Happy. What? Thrilled.
Relaxed.
Positive. Ecstatic. Grateful. What was that?
Beyond comprehension.
Awesome. Okay. What else?
Overjoyed.
What else?
Grateful.
We have grateful.
Okay. Euphoric.
Pardon?
Euphoric.
So funny. Okay, yeah. What else?
Inspired.
Miraculous. Okay. What else?
Pardon?
Powerful. That's good. What else? How else do you feel? Peaceful. Good.
Just happy?
Yeah, happy's up there. Yes.
Appreciated.
Anything else? Pardon?
Centered.
Good one. How do you spell in America? We spell R-E-E-R? Okay, fine. Fine, I'll adapt. Okay. Anything else? Okay. All right. So funny. I've never had in a city so many unbelievably upbeat ones. Los Angeles, okay? California. All right. I want to, I'm going to put in brackets things that you may not necessarily feel when you're in a high emotional state. Okay? Euphoric, exhilarated, energized, happy, thrilled, ecstatic, overjoyed. Okay. You may not necessarily feel those. Okay? Being in a high emotional state doesn't necessarily mean being happy and excited. Okay? All right? But it does mean being centered, peaceful, connected, okay?
Content,
okay? Relax, like, that's what it means, all right? Down here, it's like, okay? Up here, right? You're not all over the place. You are centered. You are connected. This is a place of clarity, okay? This is where clarity can happen. This is confusion, okay? Okay? This is total confusion, okay? And this is clarity. Now, this problem is not going away. You're going to have to deal with it. In which state are you going to do a better job dealing with your problem? You get 3 guesses, the first 2 don't count. Okay? Okay? Clearly, you're going to make better choices and better decisions and deal with your problem up here 1,000 times more than down here. This is still there, okay? And you're going to have to deal with it. God gift-wrapped that problem for you. My Revitson Weinberg, says there are no problems. There are only opportunities for growth. Put it on your fridge. Okay? There are no problems. There are only opportunities for growth. When you look at your problem as an opportunity for growth, and sometimes you've got a big opportunity for growth, okay? It's a whole different ballgame. Either way, you're going to have to deal with it. What does your problem look like down here in a low state? You know what it looks like? Looks like this. Okay? That's what it looks like. You know what it looks like up here? This is what it looks like. Okay? It looks like a puzzle. Down here, right? It's nothing but anxiety and frustration and worry and fear. And up here, it's a puzzle. I've got to figure it out. I have to deal with it. I've got to work it out. It's still the same problem. Why do we know that if you're feeling down here, that means your thoughts are wrong? Okay? Why? What do you mean wrong? Because that's not where God wants you to be. And that's not our natural state. Yes? Yeah. Very good. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, if you're good at puzzles, you look at your problems as a puzzle. Right? I can figure this out. Now, God gave you your problem. I said gift wrap for you. I can't handle your problem, and you can't handle mine. I can't handle yours, and you can't. But you can handle yours, and I can handle mine. That's why God gave it to you. Special for you. But it's your decision how to deal with it. Right? It's your decision. So, how do we know your thoughts are wrong? Because our natural state is here. Our natural state is now. Our natural state is connection. Our natural state is clarity. How do we know that? Do you ever take a walk with a kid down the street, take a walk with a kid? Why does it take you a long time? Why? They stop for everything. Look at the bug. Look at the cloud. Look at this, right? Okay. So you have to factor in more time because you know you're walking with them, right? Is that kid dwelling on the past and worrying about the future? No. No. They're totally present. Be present. Be present. When you're dwelling on the past and worrying about the future, you're living down here. Because that's what's going to happen. You're going to have regrets about the past and you're going to be worrying about the future. Be present. God will take care of the future. The past is gone. Okay? You don't know what's going to be in the future. Right? But you're so convinced, whatever it's going to be, that you've given it a reality that doesn't even exist. All right. So here's a really good one. I have to say, and my friend is here, Ariella from Denver. We had so much fun today. There's somebody who I'm very close with in Washington, too, who says, it's so funny that you give this lecture, Lori, because he knows that I'm a worrier, okay? Like, I'm not here to say I never deal with this. I'm here to say that I embrace this, and I've worked on it, and I've learned about it, and researched it, because I did have a problem with it. And it was really damaging my life in many ways, all this worry. And that's why I went, and I traveled across the country to learn from people. That's why I'm sharing, and I created this lecture because I need to hear it, and I found that a lot of people do as well. Okay, so if your thoughts are wrong, we're on point number 5. Don't replace them with positive thoughts. Let the thought go and wait for clarity. We think, so when I was first taught this, I was like, okay, so if my thoughts are wrong, and that's why I'm feeling worry, fear, and anxiety, that means my thoughts are wrong. So what should I do? My first inclination was replace those bad thoughts with good thoughts, okay? But no, that's not what I learned, all right? Imagine a river, okay? You got a river, a running river, okay? Right? It's going this way, okay. And now you've got your, okay, your thoughts that are not so good. And it's like a can of oil. Okay? Okay? Oil. All right? Can of oil. Now, you're going to open this can, and you're going to spill it into the river. Bless you. Okay? Spill into the river. And what's going to happen to this oil? Right? No, but it's running. It's going. Okay? It's flowing. It's a flowing river. Tomorrow, you can swim in that river. You can drink from that river. Okay? But if there is a pond, okay? There's a pond that comes out of this river, a little pond. And you put these same thoughts into that pond. And they sit there. And you think about them. You analyze them. You dwell on them. What do you got? Now you got pollution. Right? Now you got a polluted pond. Okay, so now we're going to replace the bad thoughts with happy thoughts. Okay? So now we got a different chemical. Okay? These are going to be our happy thoughts. Okay? And we're going to open that and we're going to put those in too. Alright, so now we got a chemical cesspool here. Okay? Okay? That's not what we want. We want to let them flow. Let them flow down the river. Okay? Let them flow and let them go. Clarity will come. Remember, all those feelings are blocking God. If you let them go, clarity will come. God already built into your system this GPS, your neshama, your God positioning system, and it knows which way to turn. If you would just get rid of all the noise, clarity will come. Can I tell you one of the examples of that? Think about your problem right now. If somebody came to you with the same problem in their life, would you have advice for them?
Yeah.
Probably have good advice. You know how people always say, like, oh, I'm really good with other people's problems, but my own problems, okay? You have wisdom. You have innate wisdom. You have inner wisdom. All the world's religions, all the leaders of the world will tell you the answer is within. It's within your soul. But you're just not hearing it. But when somebody else comes and you get away from all that stuff, your own stuff, you have wisdom for them. You have real answers. You can really help them because you've got it. All right. One of the techniques is to get out of yourself. When I first learned this, I was in Seattle learning a lot of stuff, and I came back, and I literally was at the airport, landed in Washington, and my teenage daughter calls me up. She's at college, freaking out. I have finals, I have all these papers, I can't do it, I'm the only one who's going to flunk out in the history of this college, and I'm in my major, and I can't work out my major. She's like freaking out, okay? So I figured, like, okay, I'm going to try this stuff out. So I said to her, Shoshana, if somebody else, if one of your friends in school came to you and said the exact same thing you just said to me, what would you say to her? She said, I would tell her, don't freak out. Do a little bit every day. Pull a couple of all-nighters, and you'll be fine. I said, I think that's great advice. Bye. Okay? All right. You really do have the answers. If you would just let those thoughts go, just let them flow. And one of the techniques is to get out of yourself and to think, if somebody else had this, but my husband, the same thing. He was like, has all this anxiety about what was going on in our branch. And I said to him, he was freaking out, and I said, if somebody else from another Asher Torah branch called you up and said, this is my branch situation, what should I do? What would you tell them? And he said, I would tell them, he went, da 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 da, and I said, I think that's good advice. Because he really is a very wise person, but what happens is we get caught up in all the emotion, we can't get the clarity. All right? All right. Your goal, number 6, is not necessarily that your thoughts bring you happiness, but they bring you clarity. Clarity is everything. The Torah teaches us clarity or death. Clarity is everything. When you're clear, it's not that the decision is going to necessarily make you happy, It may bring you simcha, joy, because what's joy? Happiness is appreciating what you have. Joy is knowing there will be future happiness. Right? What's the joy, the simcha you feel at a wedding? What this new couple is going to be, this new Jewish family. What's the simcha you feel at a bris, right? This new baby, all right? That this new person coming into the covenant, the Jewish people. It's very future-oriented, right? For women buying clothes, what's the joy you feel? Imagine what you're going to look like in this, what your husband's going to think about you in this, what you're going to look like on a date in this, okay? What you're going to be doing in this. That's the joy you feel. It's very future-oriented, all right? So the clarity, you may not necessarily feel happy, because at the time, the decision may not necessarily be a happy decision, but it's the right thing. You notice that we don't say Happy New Year at Rosh Hashanah. What do we say? Shana Tova. What does Shana Tova mean?
Good year.
A good year. We don't say Happy New Year. We say you should have a good year. Because a good year isn't necessarily bless you happy. A good year may be a year of growth, a year of understanding, a year of heavy decisions. It was good. You did the right thing. It may not necessarily make you happy, but hopefully it will bring you joy, knowing there will be future happiness. All right. Number 7. How do we do this? Okay? This can be achieved through a quiet mind. Let the thought go. The answer is within your soul. You don't have to agonize over the answer. The more you agonize, the worse it usually gets. Right? Thinking about it, try letting it go. Try the quiet mind. If you have a busy mind, and I have a busy, busy mind, right? I don't know about you, a very busy mind. This is very hard for me, and I have to work at it. Some people have naturally a quiet mind. I don't. I have a very busy mind. It's very noisy in here. So how do you do this? Number 8, learn to put your mind in neutral or idle. Whatever works for you, okay? Meditation, walks, yoga. You got to find what works for you. Where is the number one place, statistically, where people get those eureka moments of insight and clarity? I got it. I got the clarity. Where? The shower. The shower. What's the number 2 place? No. Ironing.
Okay. Ironing.
Yeah, and since we don't want to go there, we'll just stick to the shower. Okay? We don't want to do that. Okay. The shower. Why the shower? Why is that the number one place we go? I got it. Why? Why the shower? Right, there's nothing else there. There's no distraction. You're just like, you know, like thinking about taking a shower. It's like you go in and you take a shower. It's like you empty the mind. Like it's just like, there's like, it's a neutral place. All right? Pardon? Yeah, and cleanse. And somebody also said like the ions or whatever with water or whatever. You can't stay in the shower forever, okay? But that's a eureka moment, okay? Who was it who discovered the theory of displacement and they actually said, eureka, I've got it? It was in the bathtub. Who was that? Who was it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Archimedes? Yeah, theory of displacement. His name was Archimedes? Archimedes? Archimedes. How do you spell that?
A-R-C-H-I-M-E-D-E-S.
Archimedes. Okay, got it. Now you know this, okay? You learned something tonight. Archimedes. He went into the bathtub, the water came up, and eureka, the theory of displacement. Okay? And that's how you measure butter. Right? But it's a practical application. Alright? Alright. Do you understand that about butter? If you want to measure half a cup of butter, this is the only thing I learned at home ec in junior high, okay? Right? So you put a half a cup of water, a cold water, in a measuring cup, and you keep adding butter until it comes to a cup. Now you don't have half a cup of butter. Unless you have one of those things with the lines on it, okay? It's a theory of displacement. See, you learned something tonight. Alright. Okay. Alright? So whatever it's going to take for you to clear your head, clear your head. The more you think about it, the worse it usually gets. You want to clear your head, God will bring you the clarity. You will trust, okay? Trust Him. He will bring you the insights. Alright? Number 9. Action should be out of concern or desire to achieve or help, not from panic, fear, or worry. You want to make decisions when you are clear and connected, which is really our natural state. That zone, okay? Right? That high state. Low state. Down here, do not make decisions down there. Don't buy anything, right? Don't move. Don't Don't have that important conversation when you're anxious, fearful, worried, angry. Don't do it. Don't pick up the phone then. Don't send that email then. Okay? You can write it, but don't send it. Okay? When you're up here, okay? That's the place. Take your emotional temperature. Okay? Take your emotional temperature. If you're down here, you're feeling fearful, anxious, you've got to be true with yourself. Okay? Be real. And often people aren't. Okay, I was on the phone with somebody today. She was freaking out about her personal situation. And I said, you're in a low state. I'm not. I'm in a high state. She was so in a low state, okay? You got to be real with yourself. This is not where you want to make choices. This is when you say things, I can't, I'll never be able to, I can't, I hate, I can't stand, it's not fair. Okay? That's down here. I deserve. I love when people say, I deserve. I deserve. You're right, okay? Yeah, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you go before God and say that. I deserve, okay? Right, okay? All right. Up here, okay? This, when you're feeling calm, clear, connected, open, that's when to make a choice. That's when to make a decision. That's when to have that conversation, okay? Not down here. Give it time. This will pass. This is what happens. This is what our life is, okay? Ah. Okay. This is our life, okay? Okay? This is how it goes. Our states. Our states, they go up and down. Definitely day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, okay? Your states can go up and down. Here is the key. You ready? Up here, be grateful. Down here, be graceful. Uh-huh. When I learned that too, I was like, uh-huh. Okay? Okay, graceful. Okay? It's going to pass. You are feeling those feelings, okay? They will pass. You won't always be feeling those feelings, right? You don't sleep on it, okay? Things will look better in the morning. It really does work. It really does work. The Talmud says you're not allowed to discipline your children when you're angry. It doesn't say don't discipline your children, okay? But don't do it when you're angry. Wait. Because when you're angry, you're going to make wrong choices. You're going to give wrong consequences. You're going to damage that relationship. You're not going to be building your kid. You're going to be diminishing him. Right? Not when you're angry. Right? Up here, grateful. Down here, graceful. Are you going to go up and down? Yes, you are. Are some people a little bit more moderate and they don't have such ups and downs? Yeah, there are some people like that. I don't know them. Okay? But there are people who are not so. All right? But most of us are. We're up and down. We're up and down. Okay. Number 10. When people get down, other people, and wrong you, or they make mistakes, and sometimes hurt you, it's the result of wrong thoughts. They didn't change, their thoughts did. Knowing this will lead to forgiveness. If you think about the people you care the most about in your life, and the times they've hurt you or wronged you, chances are it was down here, in this low state. That's where they were. Do you see how this could lead to forgiveness? Just like you make mistakes when you're in a low state, right? So wait. What's hard in certain relationships, marriages or with kids or employment situations, ideally you both want to be in this high state when you have those conversations, okay? Ideally. So you got to wait till you're both there. You know what? No one's going anywhere, okay? It's better to take time. You can always say it later, but if you say it down here, you can never take it back. You can say you're sorry, but once the words are said, words are like bullets. Once you fire that gun, someone's going to get hurt. Better to wait and to say it in a high state, all right? Because you can always say it later, wait till you're in that state, but once you say it, you can never take it back. Okay, now we're going to have a lot of fun. Now let's meet your Yetzer Hara, okay? What does that mean? All right. Rabbi Volbe says in his work, Eli Shor, woe to the person who doesn't know their tafkid in life, their purpose in life. And oi to the person who doesn't know their tafkid in life, oi vavoi to the person who doesn't know their yetzirah. Woe to the person who doesn't know their purpose in life, and woe to the person who doesn't know their evil inclination. We have a yetzer tov, a positive inclination, and we have a yetzer hara, a negative, an evil inclination. Why do we say it in one breath? Because once you know what your yetzer hara is, now you know your purpose in life, which is overcoming your yetzer hara. Everybody has a different evil inclination. Right? You have a unique one. And it's everything from God. There's no evil force in the world. Everything's from the Almighty. Alright? Right? There's no force fighting the Almighty. Everything's from God. And everything's good. Everything's for our good. Even our yetzer hara. How could our evil inclination be for our good? So God places within us this yetzer hara. We all have one. And it is sparked by something that happens in our childhood. We have an incident in our childhood, an incident of usually a conflict or distress that will spark our yetzer hara. When it is sparked, we as children make a decision in life, about life, and that has been messing you up ever since. That has been creeping into your life in different ways, in different avenues, in different relationships, and has been damaging your life ever since. So one of the ways that was taught to me, and I've been sharing with other people, is to go back to that incident, find out what it was, understand the decision you made, get in touch with it. Now that you're an adult and you're all grown up, go back to that kid, now that you have more life wisdom and you understand what decision you made and why it's been damaging you, what advice would you give to that kid? And then that decision you made, which is that mantra that's been in your head, replace it with a different mantra. Let me give you some real life examples. I've done this with many, 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 many people. I actually gave this to Aisha Tori did like this singles thing in New Jersey a few months ago, and I came in and I gave this talk. It was the first time I actually had shared it with people. It was about 9 or 10 months ago. And afterwards, it was on a Saturday night after Shabbos. And afterwards, they were lined up till 3 in the morning, all these singles, they were in their 20s and 30s. They were lined up, one after another. I was at a small table, and everyone sat down, and I did the whole thing with them and got them in touch with what the yetzer was. So 3 in the morning, they were still lined up, and at 3 in the morning I went, it's over, okay? And we all went to bed, and 3:30 in the morning, the fire alarm in the hotel went off, and everybody said, this is a special night. All right. So I'm going to give you, and I've done it with many different people, real-life examples. When the person did it with me, which was a couple of years ago, the first time somebody did this with me, I was also speaking at some getaway thing, and a representative did this with me, and I did not get it. There's a lot of things going on in my life at the time. I was really not in a high state, and I didn't get it. It took me 6 months. 6 months later, I was standing in my kitchen in Washington, and I was like, I got it. And everything changed. Okay? I got it. I can usually do it in 6 minutes with people. Right? I can do it in 6 minutes. It took me 6 months. So somewhere in between 6 months and 6 minutes is you. As I'm going to share some of these ideas with you, these stories, some of you are going to get it right away. You don't even have to talk to me. I just see it in people's faces. They've got their story. They understand. They get it. Okay? All right. So here's how it goes. Let me give you some real life examples that will help you. Okay. There was this one woman who came to me, and she... Oh, this is an interesting one. Because sometimes, you know, I better not do that one first. Let me do an easier one. Okay. A woman came to me, and she came to me, and so we went back. I asked her what your yetzer hara was, like what's going on. And she really had some issues in her life. She was having trouble socially. So I said, so let's go back, right? Picture yourself when you're a kid, right? Imagine like the house that you grew up in, your little boy, your little girl. Okay, so I said you're a little girl. So what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the first incident that comes to your mind? It's always the first incident. And everybody says the same thing. Okay, well, here's what came to my head, but I don't know what this has to do with anything. It has everything to do with everything. All right? So I said, just tell me what it is. She goes, okay, I'm a little girl, and I'm playing with my friends, And they just, you know, told me to go away. They totally rejected me, and they were like calling me names. I said, how did you feel? She goes, I was really upset. I was really hurt. I said, what choice did you make? What decision did you make? She goes, I decided if I let people get close to me, they'll hurt me. I'm telling you, this woman puts out a vibe, don't get close to me. Like she says to me, no one ever asks me out for lunch at work, everybody goes off, no one ever calls. She puts out a very intense vibe, which doesn't intimidate me, because I'm not so intimidated, all right? I'm not easily intimidated. And I know that she's like a very sweet and wonderful person, but she definitely puts out go away. Like this is not a person you would be inclined to like just hang out with, all right? At first, you know, on first glance. So I said, is that really true? That if you let people get close to you, they'll hurt you. She goes, yes, everybody. Everybody in my life has hurt me. My parents hurt me. My this hurt me. This person, blah, 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 blah. So I said, have I ever hurt you? She goes, no. And I said, I named another person who I know she was close with. She goes, no. And I named another person. And I said to her, now that you know what you know as an adult, and you were to go back to that little girl, what would you say to her? What would you say to that little girl? And usually people are like, I don't know what I would say. I don't know. I said, okay, she's my little girl. Right? She's my little girl. Now go back and talk to my little girl. The kids at school, you know, called her name and hurt her, and she's made a decision. I can't let anybody get close to me because they'll hurt me. What would you say to her? So of course, what did she say to her? You can, just because you let them get close to you doesn't mean they're going to hurt you. Not everybody who gets close to you is going to hurt you. Can I tell you, this is a woman who is very, very overweight. Like extremely. So not only does she put out a personality vibe, right, to keep people far away so they won't hurt her, she physically, okay, creates a barrier between her and other people. So the new mantra, I said, now we're going to make a new voice in your head. And what's the new voice? I can let people get close to me. It doesn't mean they'll hurt me. And that's her new voice. All right? So whenever she's feeling anxious and fearful and all these things and all the stuff that's going on, okay? Right? So she clears her head and her new voice says, I can let people get close to me. It doesn't mean they'll hurt me. Sometimes our Yetzer Hara is disguised as goodness. Some of them are really clever, okay? So here's a real clever one. This woman came to me and she had so I said to her, so what's going on? What do you think your Yetzer Hara is? She goes, I'm a workaholic. She goes, I can't leave work. She is a counselor. She is a guidance counselor at a high school. And she's very, very devoted to these kids. And she works with the kids and she works with the parents. And at 3:25 when everybody leaves and she's supposed to leave, she's there till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. She's totally, you know, her husband never sees her. So I said, okay, so let's go back. Little girl. Okay, you got to get people relaxed. Right, you're growing up. Like, give me the first incident that comes to you, your little girl. She goes, okay. So I'm sitting in the bathroom on a stool, and I'm watching my father shave. Because my parents did not have a good marriage. And I guess my parents had a fight. So I was saying to my father, go talk to mommy. Right? Say you're sorry. It'll be okay. Just go say you're sorry. I said, how did you feel? She goes, I felt like it's all up to me. It's all up to me. I have to make everything okay. Get it? See the connection? Okay? So I said, if you were to go back to that little girl, now that you're an adult, go back to that little girl at that incident, what would you say to her? She said, I would say to her, honey, it's not all up to you. This is your parents' marriage. You just do your best. God runs the world. It's not all up to you. So she has a sign now on her desk as the guidance counselor. It's not all up to me. God runs the world. She goes at 3:25. She gets up. She, imagine God gets into the seat, okay? And she goes home to her husband. And her husband thanked me for getting his wife back. All right? See, but it's disguised as goodness. She was helping people. She was doing good things. But it wasn't good. Do you see? It was not coming from, it was too much. It was coming not coming from a good place. A guy came to me. A woman heard this talk, and she sent her husband to me. So I met with her husband, and I said to him, like, what do you think of Yetzirah? Like, what do you think is tripping you up in life? And he said, I just have so much anxiety. He says, it's just, I feel like, you know, like everybody expects things in the community, and I have to do things in the community, and I have to be the best at work, and I'm a lawyer, and there's so much pressure, and I have to be such a great father. And it was just like so, this guy was like a bundle of tension. So I said, okay, let's go back, okay? Right? You're a little boy, growing up, give me the first incident that comes to you. He said, okay, I don't know what this has to do with anything. I go, just tell me. He said, I'm standing, he goes, I was playing Little League, and my father was the coach. Because his father was a great baseball player. Like he was, you know, in the, like almost, like one step below the majors. And his father is the coach of the team. He said, we were finished practice, and my father told me, go out onto the into the field, and he had all the kids watch, and he was hitting me some puck flies, because his father could really hit. It was coming down really, really fast. And he goes, and I'm standing there with my gloves, and the ball's coming down. That's what his memory was. I said, how did you feel? He said, I was so worried. Because what would happen if I dropped the ball? So I said, now that you know what you know in life, and you have to go back to boy, what would you say to him? He had a really hard time with this. Because I don't know what I would say to him. Okay, it's my little boy, okay? Right? It's my little boy, and you see this happening. My little boy's out there. You see he's freaking out, and the ball's coming down. What would you say to him? He said, I would tell him, it's okay if you drop the ball. Your father will still love you. Okay? This guy could not drop the ball in any aspect of his life. He was so, had to be the best, you know, the best at this point, the community and the lawyer and the father and the husband and everything, right? He was so afraid that if he dropped the ball, people wouldn't love him. He had to create, he had to maintain this perfect image in every aspect of his life. So the new voice in his head is, it's okay if I drop the ball, people will still love me. Love me. Now, many people often say to me, I have many Yetzirahs. I don't know which one it is. Okay? You know what? You don't. You have one that's manifested in different ways. So the example for that is there was a woman who I met. I remember I was sitting with a group of women and we were doing this. And I said to this one woman, what do you think of Yetzirah? She goes, I don't know. So her best friend said, I know what it is. Because if you don't know what Yetzirah is, ask your spouse, ask your best friend, they'll tell you. Okay? She goes, I know what it is. She goes, what? She goes, you have to belong to everything. Everybody in the community thinks you're awesome. But I, as your best friend, know that you're on every committee and you ignore, and that your children are suffering and your marriage is suffering because you have to, and also, you're a shopaholic. Right? I remember when I was at this weekend with her, and everything that was said, and Torah-wise, she always made an analogy to shopping, okay? It's all about shopping. So I said, okay, so let's do it. I said, let's go back when you're a little girl, right? Got it back, right? She's a little girl. I said, what's the first memory that comes to you? She goes, okay, I don't know what this means, but my first memory is I'm going to the den, and my parents are watching television, and they sort of made it clear, like, go away. Go away. She goes, well, then I went into my sister's room. I had three sisters, and they were playing some game. And they were also like, go away. I go, how'd you feel? She goes, I felt terrible. Nobody wants me around. So I said, what decision did you make? She said, I will belong. I will belong. I will belong. So she has to join every committee. She has to be on everything, because I will belong. The shopping, she said she went to Beverly Hills High, okay? She said everybody there was using, all her classmates were from affluent homes, and she was not. And everybody had the clothes, and she didn't. So shopping is the same thing. I will belong. Did you get it? So I said, if you were to go back to that little girl, what would you say to her? She said, I would say to her, you don't have to belong to everything for people to like you. You can just be you. And that's the new voice in her head. Okay? So, you know, I told you my whole thing is worry. I'm not going to tell you my personal story because it's a little too personal. But I went back and it was like, ding, 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 ding. Okay, it took me 6 months. Okay, but then it was ding. So my voice in my head is, be present. God will take care of the future. Whenever I feel myself being anxious and worried, because my yetzer is worry. Some people's yetzer is fear. Some people's yetzer is anger. Some people's yetzer is whatever. Fill in the blank. Okay? Food. Okay? Whatever it is. So when I'm feeling worried, I'm telling you, it changes everything. It just centers me. Be present. God will take care of the future. That's it. Okay? Because that decision you made back then was ridiculous. Okay? Right? That people will hurt me if they get close to me. Right? That I can't drop the ball in life. That if, you know, unless I belong to things, people won't like me. All right? But we really do make that choice. We make that decision, and that has been coloring everything in our life and every relationship, and that's been tripping you up ever since. Oi to the person who doesn't know their tafkid in life, their purpose. Oi v'voi to the person who doesn't know their yetzer hara. Once you know what your yetzer hara is, it's not that it's going to go away. Once a person is an alcoholic, they will always be an alcoholic, even if they don't drink. You should be able to stand up here and say, my name is Lori Palatnik, I'm an alcoholic. Or you should say, I'm Lori Palatnik, my yetzer hara is worry. You should be able to say, my name is, and my yetzer hara is this. It doesn't mean you have to drink. You don't have to go there, but that will always be your yetzer hara. Overcoming it is your purpose in life. It's part of your purpose. It's about how you're going to become great. By overcoming it. Do you understand? This is not to go back and blame the people who caused the incident. Don't do that. Don't go back and add this to the list of why you hate your mother. Okay? Right? Don't do that. It's not that. It could have been caused by anybody. God wanted it to come out, and they were just his vehicles, his puppets. Okay? Right? It had to come out. There are people who tell me, oh my gosh, I gave my teenage daughter her yetzer hara today. Okay? Like, you had a conflict with that kid, and like, they're like, oh, right. It doesn't matter. Alright? It has to come out. It doesn't have to be through you, it be through somebody else. It's usually through family members, but often it's not. Often it's not. Be friends, right? Whatever it is. And it comes out. I've done it with kids as young as, hold on, 9. I've done it with kids as young as 9. They get it. And I've done it with people as old as old. Okay? Right? It's really, they can get it. And once they know what it is, and I've done it with a couple of my kids, then you can remind them, don't forget, that's just your yetzer hara. And it's just your yetzer hara. You're greater than it. Right? That's your yetzer hara. You know what it is. Why going back to the incident and understanding what sparked it helps you to overcome it? I don't know why. But it does. It does. Because when I said to my husband, oh my gosh, I finally figured out what my yetzer hara is. It's worry. He goes, I knew that. I go, why'd you tell me? All right? Why'd you tell me? So, but going back for some reason gives it, it gives it powerlessness. It was just like I was a kid. And this happened. And for some reason when I was a kid, I made this decision, and that's my decision in life. Right? All right. Questions? Yes. Right. She's very good. Excellent.
So how is she supposed to like channel the thing that she is doing too much of?
Right. Right. Just because you're good at something doesn't mean you're supposed to be doing it 24/7. All right. I know somebody I was on the phone with tonight, and the person who thought she was in a high state but is in a low state, and she works tirelessly for the Jewish people. And she's having a problem with a kid, her teenage son. And she's like, I can't deal with him. That's it. I don't have any time for this. And I resent him. And why do you do this? And I can't do it. And I can't do it. And I said, your son is the Jewish people too. So don't work so... And she goes, I'm at the office. And it's 8:30. And I can't deal with this. All right? Don't get distracted. Okay? Right? I don't know. I could... I could probably present what I think her Yetzer Hara is, all right? Listen, it's a lot easier to get recognition and to feel powerful and to be in control and for people to think you're great when you're dealing with people who are not in your house, okay? All right? You know, the Rabbi Cohen who introduced me, and he says, you know, my daughter, she thinks you're so great. She never says that about my talks, okay? You think my kids think I'm so great? Okay? People pay me a lot of money. They fly me all over the world, literally, okay, to speak. At home, my kids go, stop talking! Okay? you're never a star in your hometown, okay? In your own house. So you don't get all that positive accolade, but that's where greatness happens. Okay? I'll tell you, I really get, you know, thank God, people think I'm going to get all this reward for all the people who I've impacted Jewishly in the world. You know, this is so easy for me. I love people, and I really, Hashem gave me a certain gift to be able to motivate people, right? That's not where my reward is going to come. It's through the kid, you know, and everybody's got a kid who's really a challenge, and that is my ticket to heaven, okay? Sometimes that kid will go, turn around, stomp away, slam the door, and I'm like, there she goes, my Olam Haba, my will to come, okay? Dress inappropriately again, okay? All right, that's where your greatness is, okay? It's very easy to be great outside, okay? But it's really the people who are very close to you in life, and that's your ticket to greatness, right? But you don't have to open up that invitation. It's God's invitation for you to be great, but often we don't RSVP the invitation. Okay? Okay. Any other questions? Did I answer your question? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
How
right. So first of all, you know, you can come to me, you can call me, okay, I can help you, or you could just really sit down with a friend and like sort of talk it out, because often you don't get it until somebody, like I can walk you through it. I've never had anybody not get it. And usually I can do it very, you know, pretty quickly. But sometimes it takes longer, depending on what's going on in your life. I don't know why it took me 6 months, but I'm telling you, I was standing in my kitchen, and 6 months later, I got it. And I called the woman up, I said, I got it, okay? It took me, like, I took longer than anybody in the whole world, all right? But it was because I was not in a state where I could hear. It was too much confusion, too much noise going on in my life at the time, all right? But you usually can get it, and sit with it a little bit. Or talk it out. It always helps to talk it out. It's hard to get it on your own. Very few people get it on their own. Usually there's probably like four people in this whole audience who've gotten it already. Like maybe four. Maybe. Usually it's like you got to talk it out with somebody. They have to bring you back. You have to walk through it. And you'll get it. Because usually it's like, oh, I've got this memory, but I don't know what it has to do with anything. It's not even nothing. But once you talk it through, you get the clarity. Yes. Oh. That's a very good question. Okay. It could be as young, depending on what personality type you are. It could be as young as 3 or 4, and it could be as old as 8. Somewhere between 3 and 4 and 8. It's usually around that time. Yeah. It's pretty young. It's pretty young memory. Pretty young memory. And again, you could say, well, so many things have happened or whatever. It's usually all linked to the same Yetzer Hara. It's just manifested in different ways, just like the shopping and the being rejected. All right. To know more about this and to understand yourself, greater than loving people is understanding them. Greater than loving people is understanding them. If you say to somebody, I love you, but that person doesn't feel you get them, then it's really negative what you just said. Why? Oh, you love what you think I am, but if you really knew who I was, maybe you wouldn't love me. There's nothing worse than feeling misunderstood in life, especially by the people who you want to understand you the most. And understanding yourself and appreciating other people is where it's at. Because when you get somebody, I mean the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you say to that person, I love you, it goes right into their soul. So how can you understand them more? So, I did ship CDs and books here, but they didn't arrive, so there you go. So if you go on to H Audio, okay, well, they're going to come later, actually, and then you can call, okay, call H Torah for books and CDs. There is a specific CD called, you know, you don't have to wait for it to arrive. You go on to H Audio on H.com. There is a talk that I give called Discovering the Real You. So from that. When I give it out there, it's called the Kabbalah View, Discovering the Real You, which it helps you to understand, this is such a key talk, to understand your personality type, both your body and soul drives, they have different names, and you'll figure out what you are, and understanding the people around you. And that will help you tremendously, tremendously in life, tremendously. It's very key, I want you to do that. Also, if you like me, or if you miss me, so go on, I have a new video blog on H.com. Right? You have to be, you know, Rabbi Solomon. Did you ever hear, see Rabbi Solomon? So they started last week with one of mine. I recorded a whole bunch of them. And it's a video blog. It's a 3-minute thing. This week's it's called, what do they call it? Oh, Looking for My Father. Right? It's called, that's what the talk is called, but it's called Lori Almost Live. Okay? Lori Almost Live. And it's going to be on every week, I think. So just click on it. You can send it to other people. And it's a 3-minute little thing, a little talk and a little lesson. Also, every summer, I lead women's missions to Israel. This summer, there's going to be a beginner track and an advanced track. That means anybody who's on more an advanced stage of learning or who has been on a mission before or has been to Israel before can choose the more advanced learning track. And we do unbelievable things. We go to, like, this luxury spa in the Carmel. That's how we start off. And then we take you to the north, and then we take you to Jerusalem, and you have the greatest minds in the Jewish world, and you're at a 5-star hotel at the David Citadel, and it's a fantastic, fantastic experience. Really amazing. 10 days with the greatest women in the world. We also take you to Eyot, which is the women's branch of Ishtar, which is a school that I went to, and we have a day there where you hear from Robertson Weinberg, and who's really one of the greatest Jewish women in the world, and a real inspiration, and they are building, we go to Kiryat Sanz, but the new building will be, what's the neighborhood called? In Ramayimah, this new gorgeous building for Eyot, if you want to know about it, talk to Bonnie, that they are going to be building. It didn't look, this is not where I went, okay? It's not the way it looks. But it's really not necessarily it's not necessarily the outer thing. It's really what goes on inside. That's the most important thing. And that's what you'll experience as well. But God willing, it'll be a nice, gorgeous building one day. Because it is nice to be in a nice building with a nice view. At Eish HaTorah, where we'll be learning, has the best view in the world. The Western Wall. Location, location, location. And, it's really the most, it's 10 days. You know, every year you have a physical. So every year you should also have a spiritual.
Do you have a date?
Yes. We're leaving July 29th, God willing, and coming back August 8th, both together. We all go together.
Oh.
But the advanced track, it means that when we have the learning part, like we have the tours, we tour together, the spa, we do the spa together, and Shabbos together. But when you have the learning, it'll be you'll choose from the advanced track, so it'll be on a more advanced level, or the beginner track, on more of a beginner level. All right? We have certain subsidies available, we have payment plans, so money shouldn't be an issue, and we do a beautiful, gorgeous, and amazing, and very inspiring. My husband's going to be leading a men's mission in April, so if you're interested in that, please contact me. And again, I really, really, it's okay. I forgive you. Don't have to call me before Yom Kippur for the weather here. It's really fine, even though it's warmer in Washington than it is here. Okay, it's really, really fine. And it was really a pleasure to come here. Please come up to me afterwards. I'm happy to talk to you. And thank you so much for coming.